Good morning, guys. I hope you're doing really well. I'm Faye, and we're in part four of the New Normal series, and we're looking at empowered living. So how does the Holy Spirit help us walk in freedom? And I just really love the title of this series, The New Normal. And just imagine if the new normal for us at Mosaic wasn't just masks or tables of six, but our new normal increasingly became lives empowered by the Spirit. Imagine the freedom and joy we would have, lives not controlled by fear or apathy, but by the power and love of God, and imagine the impact on Leeds. So if you're feeling distant from God or trapped in ways of thinking or behaving that don't match life and life to the full, or you look at your life and you think, man, I need freedom here or here, or you look over your last week and you recognise any of the following in yourself. So like burnout from trying really hard, judgment or comparison of or with others, guilt or feelings of inadequacy from not being good enough. I know I can spot some of these patterns in me. Then I just really trust in that God wants to bring freedom for you today and show us how we can be transformed to look like Jesus through his Spirit. So this passage is one of those where you read it and you're like, what? There's loads of glories and glory. So just to set the scene, it just talks about Moses, who is a guy in the Old Testament of the Bible, who led a group of people called the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt, and is known for being given the first five books of the Torah, which includes the law of how Jewish people were to live. And this is known as the Old Covenant. So in Exodus, you can read how Moses goes up this mountain to get the law and he asks to see God's glory. But the glory, the holiness of God, is so dangerous for our mortal bodies that had Moses had looked directly at God, he would have died. So God's like, okay, but you're going to have to stand in a cleft in the rock. That's a gap in the rock. And I'll cover you with my hand to protect you until I walk by and you can only see my back. So this happens, and then Moses comes down the mountain with the law carved in stone tablets, and he looks different. His face is literally shining with God's glory, and his brother, when he looks at Moses, is terrified. And when speaking to his people, he has to put a veil over his face because it's all too bright. And if we fast forward, there's now a new covenant which isn't based on keeping loads of laws, but being led by the Spirit. So Paul starts comparing this old and new covenant, which began with Jesus on the cross, the ministry of the law and the ministry of the Spirit. So I just recommend getting your head in the zone for this passage, really concentrate, and let's look out for words that describe these two different covenants. So he writes this in 2 Corinthians 3:7-18. Now, if the ministry that brought death, he's talking about the law, which was engraved on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? But what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. So let's just start looking at the language used to describe this old covenant. Here's a snazzy little table for you. It says it could only end in death and was bringing about condemnation and God's judgment. Why? Well, whether you've been around church for years, a real long time, or this is the first time, I'm pretty sure you will have heard of the Ten Commandments, which are part of the law, ways of living that God asked his people to live by. But all they highlighted were that we were incapable of living by them. Even as Moses was up the mountain to receive something that said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, the Israelites were at the bottom of the mountain petitioning for an idol to be made so they could worship it instead of God. This law leads, it says, to death because we were incapable of being good enough to get to God following his rules. It highlighted our inadequacy. We couldn't live by it. And so it could only lead to judgment. And that is not freedom. Being so incapable of choosing the very thing that is best for us, and our trajectory, our pathway, was towards death. And so Moses comes down the mountain, they couldn't even look at his face. We couldn't even look at God. We couldn't approach him with confidence. And I just want you to imagine a boat, and there's a sign over here which says life and life to the full. But the rudder on the boat is broken and fixed this way. And you might be able to move yourself a little bit closer over here with a ton of effort, but it will never be enough. You'll never get over here because the rudder is broken. Not only that, but the change to Moses' face, they says it was transitory, it was temporary. It was passing away. The mark of God's glory on the outside of Moses, it just faded over time. Relying on the law is like wearing a veil, blinding us from the goodness of God. We just can't see how good he really is. And therefore we lack the transforming power to change because it's beholding him that brings about the internal change in us. And that is just not God's heart for you. Let's just compare that with life led by the Spirit. So instead of death, there is freedom. In the old covenant, the glory is temporary, but now in the new covenant, it's permanent. The old covenant is passing away, it's fading away. But the new covenant, God's glory is ever increasing. The old covenant, when we're unable to see God's goodness, we're blinded to his goodness. In the new covenant, we're able to see God's goodness. The old covenant, we're lacking transformative power, but now there is unsurpassing transformative power for you and me. The old covenant was condemnation. The new covenant brings about our righteousness before God. Yeah. Moses did have an amazing encounter with the presence of God, but our access today is even more astoundingly complete. While Israel could not even look at Moses' face without the aid of a veil, Christians can now behold the glory of God with an unveiled face. Why? But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains, where the old covenant, I can't even see, where the old covenant is read, it's not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Through Jesus and only through him, through his death and resurrection, the veil can come off. The keeping you at arm's length relationship was forever obliterated, it was forever destroyed. Jesus is like the cleft, the gap in the rock that protected Moses from death. He protects us from death, from judgment, from condemnation. In him, we are seen as perfect and spotless and blameless, and we've been made righteous. We're accepted and we're forgiven. And if you're not a believer, this should be music to your ears. Following rules and being good enough for God is not going to get you close enough to God. Only Jesus can do that, and he's already done like everything needed to welcome you in. And if you too want that, the freedom to go to the right way, to life and life to the full, then you can just tell him today that you need him, you need his help. And what does this new status paid for by Jesus result in? Well, because we're seen as perfect and spotless and blameless and righteous, in verse 12 it says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. God actually wants you to boldly approach him. Jesus paid for you to come close and spend time with God. And we all behave differently at home behind closed doors. We might wear comfy clothes, open the fridge, take what we need. We've actually got a huge pile of mess hidden just outside of the shop. And we can lounge about and be very bold. We can be ourselves. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be at home with him, to come as we are, to hang out, to ask for what we need, to share our life with him, to listen to him. I think we could like afford to be a little bit bolder with how we approach God. We have unlimited access to the very presence of God. It's free and it's limitless, and it's unashamed access. Whether you've lived well today or not, God's cry to you this morning is, child, come close. I'm not keeping you at arm's length. I don't think you're gross. Approach me boldly, gaze at my glory. And this is just really significant, because even though through Jesus can we have access to God, we often live believing that we can get there through our own merit. Either we try really, really hard, feel proud of doing what seems right for a few hours, or having our act together, or for even telling people about Jesus. We might feel judgmental of other people, or feel crushed because we aren't living up to other people, how they're living, or feel guilty before God. We might try and deal with our guilt through self-atoning. If I'm kind tomorrow, maybe God will forgive me for today. I mean, I often swing between pride and total despair that I'm not good enough. And if I'd done something wrong, this is how I used to kind of the pattern, like become angry or dishonored God some way. I'd think things like, right, I can't do a quiet time now because he's seen what I'm like. So to punish myself, I'll spend some time with him tomorrow when I've tried harder today. Like, what am I thinking? And although we have freedom from the veil that blinds us from the goodness of God, it's like we keep putting it back over our faces when we choose to rely on anything but the Spirit. And we've got to stay away from the veil over our faces. From the, like, I've fasted, I've lived according to the law, I've spent my money wisely, I've memorized scripture, so that I might be good enough. I've told 20 people about Jesus this week. Like, these things, just, they're not bad at all, but they're dangerous when we think we can use them to get to God. The veil is only removed through Jesus. And what a leveller. You're no better or worse than the person next to you. And it says this in Galatians 5 verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. So when you feel guilty, stand firm and acknowledge that God wants you to boldly approach him. My response when I'm tempted to self-atone is to stand firm and be like, no, I reject this lie, and I spend time defiantly with God. When you feel pride, stand firm and acknowledge that it's only through Jesus that we can approach God, but still approach him boldly. And right thinking about how we can approach God is important, because as we boldly come close to him and behold his glory, that's what the Spirit uses to bring about our utter transformation into the image of God's glory. We're not wearing a veil anymore. We're no longer blinded to the goodness of God. And because we can come close and look at God, spend time with him in his presence, it talks about how that internally transforms us. Not to like make our faces shiny for a little bit of time, but to bring about internal transformation so that we want what God wants. And like walking in the Spirit is something the Holy Spirit enables us to do by producing in us like strong desires that match God's will. And this is, God said he'd do this. He said he'd do this in Ezekiel 36:27. It says, a new heart I will give you and a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. The Holy Spirit produces in us desires for God that are way stronger than our fleshly desires. And thus he causes us to walk in God's statutes, to live out God's desires. And that is like really good news for us, because what God wants for you is life and life to the full. And that looks like freedom to me. And it says, when we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, and we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And that word contemplate, the Greek verb is katoptrizo. I'm just using some Greek. And it's formed from the noun katoptron. And it just means like mirror. Because we get to mirror his goodness. We get to mirror his goodness. We get to be transformed by him. So when we look at him, we get to look like him. We get to look like the King of Kings when we spend time with him. And that means the hurting world around us, the broken world around us, gets to experience the goodness of God too when you spend time boldly with him. And this freedom talked about in verse 7, it's amazing. It says in verse 7, now the Spirit of the Lord, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's freedom from things and freedom to things. So the freedom from the requirements of the law and our just rubbish attempts at self-righteousness. It's freedom from condemnation, from sin and death. It's freedom from the hold of the enemy. And it's freedom too, it's freedom to be transformed into the image of God, of Christ, with evidence of his power, his love and authority. Freedom to walk in power and boldness. Like, gone is the, please, Oliver's, please, sir, can I have some more? We expect the more. It's freedom to walk in love, and it's freedom to have a holy and fruitful life. So the Spirit alters the trajectory of our life towards life and life to the full. What the law couldn't do because we were incapable of following it. The rudder that was fixed and going over here becomes refixed. We are realigned towards our Heavenly Father. And instead of just having a fixed rudder, we have full sails on our boat. And we actually have power to move and change. There is power given to us, which we didn't have before. Before we would try and fail, but now we are free to try and succeed. And God transforms us so that the very things that held us captive become the very things that he transforms and uses for his glory. Like where there was fear, he transforms us to be bold. Anxiety is transformed into peace. Anger is transformed into forgiveness. This here is a picture of an absolute legend. It's a picture of Pastor Mick Fleming. And he's devoted, he lives in Burnley, and he's devoted all of his time in this lockdown to supporting the poorest communities in Burnley. But his life hasn't always been this way. He tells us how he swapped a life of crime for delivering food parcels 7 days a week, holding funerals for free and counselling people through drug relapses. He says at the beginning of a recent documentary for The Guardian, it's literally 15 minutes long, watch it, it's so encouraging. He says, don't tell the bishop, but the same skills I used to use to deliver drugs, I now use to collect and distribute food parcels. Transferable skills, he calls it. And now he trains ex-addicts to lead and plant churches. And that is the power of the Spirit. So we should have great expectations for the future. We can be made different. The things that have bound you, the things that have defined you, you will be the complete opposite, so that God will be glorified, because you clearly couldn't do it alone. So I just wonder where you're not currently living life and life to the full. Like, are you in freedom? What is it that you're trapped by? Because through the Spirit, you won't be trapped by that in the future. So how might we live that empowered life by the Spirit today and tomorrow in the areas that we don't feel like we have freedom in? And I've just found this pattern really, really helpful. And it just says, acknowledge, pray, trust, act, thank. Acknowledge. We acknowledge from our heart that we're unable to please God without the Spirit's constant enablement. We pray for that enablement. We trust confidently in the Spirit's power and promises that give that enablement, that help us to do what we need to do. And then we act. That's just doing what we know would be right from the Bible. And having done it, we thank. We turn and say with everybody, with all the saints, not I, but the Spirit of Christ within me, thank you, God, for enabling me. So let us be bold in coming close to God. Jesus has made a way for you. As you spend time with him, you will look like him. We shine with God's glory, which on display transforms the world. Acknowledge that you can't do anything without him. As any attempt at following the law to be good enough is temporary and is like putting a veil back over yourself. It can't actually change you. Instead, boldly expect him to change you as you rely on his Spirit.